I remember it was about August, I think, 1978. And I started working with Alan for the first time. And it was just really interesting. From day one, I think he was just a totally different person. I think he was like about 28, 10 years older. And he was like the divisional sales manager in insurance sales. And we used to knock on doors and sell insurance. In actual fact, Alan used to always tell us that when people would slam the door in our face, we'd run around to the back door. And we'd knock on the back door of the same house and we'd put our foot up against the wire part, you know. And when the guy would answer the back door, we used to say, "Oh, hi, sir, Mr. Smith. I just ran into this rude, arrogant tenant you have living in the front side of the house, but glad I ran into you this time." And it was really funny. Half the people would want to hit you and half the people would just laugh hysterically. And then sort of, although they told you at the front door to get lost, they'd say, "Well, if you've got that many balls to come around the back door, come on in." You know, and you used to try to get one sale a day. And I remember Alan at the time was teaching us all this stuff about body language, and we really didn't understand it. I mean, he used to sort of say, you know, it's the way, you know, boys and girls communicate. We used to think, well, that's kind of sex, isn't it? But you got to remember, body language didn't exist. This was a totally new science. They had, like, you know, Darwin's Book of Evolution and some scientific journals. But it didn't really exist. And one of the other things that I remember, or two things that come to mind, was he would be creating these cassette tapes on how to teach people to sell on the phone. And in fact, we all used to work at night between 6 and 9 o'clock at night, ringing up people out of the electoral roll to find prospects to go and sell life insurance to. And I remember he used to handcuff us because it was cold calling and no one really likes to be cold calling. So he'd actually handcuff us to the desk at 6 and then come and let us all go at about 9 o'clock at night. But, you know, we were young guys. We were teenagers. We didn't know any better. And we'd sort of ring up people out of the electoral roll and go, "Hey, is that the young guy living there?" You know, we'd go from there. But the other thing that was really interesting, in those early years when Alan started teaching us about the science, about body language and what this meant, besides the fact it was incredibly interesting, incredibly new, and it was phenomenal how successfully it worked. When we used to go along, when Alan first published the book, because the book was published in 1980, and actually, in fact, he ended up having to self-publish. No publisher anywhere in the world would publish the book. All the publishers thought it was crazy, it was woo-woo, weird stuff. No one would publish body language. So he actually had to publish it himself. Smartest thing he did, actually, because I think the books cost him about $1 to publish, and then they sold for about $20 each, and he sold about 15 million of them. But I remember many times I'd go and watch Alan present the subject of body language to sales and marketing groups, and I'd sit at the back of the room and watch it. And it was so fascinating to see how hard it was to sell people on a new science for which they had no previous understanding. Because he's trying to tell people, you know, 7% of how you communicate is kind of words, you know, 38% is tonality of those words, and 55% is the body language, which once the mind takes an attitude, you know, the body will do certain things with its physical gestures and you can work out what people are thinking. Well, this sounds pretty much like a voodoo science. And I just remember that the negative energy he used to get from these rooms of people looking at him like, "Who is this moron? And what's all this crap he's trying to talk about from the stage?" I remember on one occasion I said to Alan, I said, "Alan, no one understands this stuff. It's going to be a really hard, hard push." And he said to me, he said, "Rick, if you ever want to change anything, it will take about 20 years. And he was pretty right. It took until about the year 2000 before really everybody had a worldwide acceptance around the subject of body language. And I mean, now, just about every man and his dog's written a book on it. They're an expert on it. Yeah, you know, they're a class of YouTube on it. Everybody talks about body language. Yet in those days, it just didn't exist. And now it's sort of common day. So I think the greatest thing about being 18 and 19 was not having enough knowledge in my brain or knowing enough of anything about anything for me to sort of argue about what doesn't work and what's not possible. Because as I learned everything from Alan, we just assumed that what he was telling us was the way things were and the way things should be done. And hence, we just went through all those informative years through being a teenager, through my 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, always doing things. And sometimes I remember one of the things we used to do is if someone was really not on board with me in a conversation at say a house, I went to sell life insurance, and I could tell from the body language as I learned that the gentleman or the man who owns the house just wouldn't be on board. And Alan always used to say, you know, you've got to get around his side of the table, sort of like physically and mentally, in order for him to come on board and be open to my ideas. And I mean, one of the things I used to do was I used to sit on a table, and the man who owned the house would usually sort of lean back and cross his arms, and then I'd lean back and cross mine. And then what would happen is there would become this state where the owner of the house has to prove he's the owner of the house. So he'd lean back a little bit more, and I'd lean a little bit more, and then I'd usually actually get my extended leg and support it under the crossbar that would run under the table. And then the man would lean back even further, and of course he would fall back on the floor, and then I'd jump up, run around and say, "Oh, wait, sir, let me help you. Let me help you back in the chair." So, oh my God, I better sit here next to you so this never happens to you again. And I did that for many years, and it was the way I used to get around the other side of the table. And I remember years later, and, you know, 30 years later, I'm teaching a bunch of adults on how to get around the other side of the table. And people looked at me and their eyes were just like bog-eyed, huge, like they could not believe what I was saying. And I had to stop myself and I was thinking, you know, I've been doing this since I was like 18, 19 when I was a naughty kid. So for me, it becomes just natural. But to say to somebody who's in their 40s or 50s, you know, just lean back on a table until the other person falls over and run around and pick them up off the floor. You have to sort of stop myself now and think, well, that was then, maybe that's not now.